Matthew chapter 13. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him. So he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. The ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But you receive the seed on the stony places. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world. And the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. But he received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed hears, bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Important study this morning. I've entitled it, Ears to Hear. And so I hope this morning, as you sit here, that you brought your ears with you, spiritually speaking, that you're open to the Word of God, because I believe this is something the Lord really wants to talk to us about. We've been seeing the opposition rising up against Jesus the last couple of chapters, the Pharisees attacking him, they're saying all these things against him, they're against his message, they put his messenger in jail, and so the opposition is just rising against the Messiah, really. And we're going to see now the kingdom parables is really starting from chapter 13, where Jesus explains what it's like life in the kingdom of heaven. What it's like now to have life in the kingdom of heaven right here and now already. And so during this present age. And as he starts in verse 1, we see on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Jesus was a really busy person. He was constantly giving his life to all those around him. He was constantly ministering, touching people, healing people, reaching out to people. In the previous chapter, we saw that he spoke to the Pharisees and he talked to them about all these things, the sign that they were asking him. And he says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Now, I think this is sort of significant what it says here, because we know that they've rejected him. They've rejected his word. All the things that Jesus has been speaking about, the Pharisees have been opposing this every single time. And it says, as he goes out of the house and sat by the sea, this to us is a biblical picture. The house is a biblical picture of Israel, and the sea has always been a biblical picture of the Gentile nations out there, Isaiah 60 verse 5. You can go check it out, one of the references. And so this is sort of a symbolic turning where Jesus goes from the house to the sea, but it actually has a bit more meaning there, because he actually turns from just the house of Israel, and now he goes and he speaks to like all the multitudes even more. he goes out, and it's just that symbol of he coming for everyone, not just the Jews. Verse 2 says, the great multitudes were gathered together to him, so he got into a boat and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So we see Jesus using the boat as his pulpit. So obviously he's standing there, the crowds are pressing in against him from all the sides, and he says, well, let me just get in the boat and push the boat out a bit. And now you can just imagine the guys like the Pharisees. This was not something that was normally done. This was probably never done up until now. And they might just think, yeah, well, you know, teaching belongs in a synagogue or whatever. You can just imagine all the things that these guys would be saying. Criticizing the things that Jesus did. Like, I don't know if this belongs here by the sea. But I think Jesus did this for a number of reasons. First of all, the people were pressing about him so much. It's very difficult to speak to a multitude of people when you're like squished by them. You can't even get seen. Secondly, Jesus went out on the water because the acoustics are much better. You know, in the old days, in the 1800s, Charles Spurgeon told the guys, if they want to be preachers, they should weigh at least 250 pounds. Now that's almost 114 kilograms. He says you have to weigh at least that much to have the body to speak loudly, to get your voice out there so everyone can hear you. Jesus used a different technique. He used the acoustics, the natural acoustics of the land. So he was sitting in, his voice was reflected off the water into them, especially the place, if you go check in Israel, where they reckon that this happened. Very good natural acoustics. So he was standing there just using the nature that he's made to project his voice properly to all the people so they can hear him, because there was a multitude of people. I think thirdly also, it's a great setting that you have the Messiah standing on the boat. This is your view, and you're like, this is what you're getting. You're getting all this kingdom information, and he's speaking to them. So I think there's good reason for Jesus to do this. Also, he likes pushing the boundaries. Jesus doesn't always do it the way people expect him to do it. And so this was not the norm. I think this is the first time this probably ever happened. And he says to them there in verse 3, he spoke many things to them in parables, saying... So here we get the word parable. So what is a parable? The Greek word there is the word parabole, and it means, para means alongside. It means alongside of something. And the bole means casting. So what it really means is to cast something alongside, to throw something next to. And so what a parable refers to is, it's a story that you throw next to the truth. You put the truth next to the story so it makes the story, so it brings out the truth more apparently, so it's something that you can remember. These people will walk away from there and they'll remember the story, because our memories are quite bad. We're going to speak about that a little bit later on. So it's a story thrown alongside the truth. And it, you know, the parables don't always have an immediate, you don't immediately always know what they're saying. It's not like, oh, okay, I know what he's talking about. This is sort of like a story to convey a biblical truth. Parables have been called stories with heavenly meanings. And the thing about parables that we have to understand very clearly, they basically convey one main message. A parable is not an allegory. It's not, some people confuse themselves because they go into parables with the analytical mindset of every little detail must mean something, like an allegory. Parables are not allegories. It's to convey one basic message, one basic truth to the people through a story. So I think we'll get theologically mixed up if you sit down and you go look at everything in the parable and says, oh, that's what that means. That must be what that means. You know, I've heard some people say that you should be at least 30 years in the ministry before you start teaching on the parables. So I'm very premature in this, so bear with me. Because I think there's much more hidden in a parable, but it's also a very important thing. And I'm not standing here with confidence just telling you this is exactly what I think the parables mean. But I do believe there's a lot of important information for us in here. And Jesus says, he says, behold, a sower went out to sow. So this is the parable of the sower. Very famous parable. And unfortunately, I think most of us have heard this before. And the reason why I say unfortunately is because, you know, anything that you've heard before that you know, you sort of just like, oh, I've heard it, and your mind sort of shuts down a little bit. Just think about this morning, if this is the first time you ever heard this parable, like these guys sitting on the hillside, it would have a much bigger impact on you. And Jesus talks about a sower going out to sow. So, it's of course according to the customs of his day. In those days, the agricultural customs worked a bit differently. They would sow the seed, and then they would scatter the seed first, and then they would go and plow the land. Today, we normally plow, and then we plant the seed. In those days, they would sow it everywhere, and then they would go and plow the field so it would be mixed in. So it was a different way they did it. And just thinking about this also brings a lot of things into perspective for us when we read through this. He says there in verse 4, "And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them." So we see Jesus now going to explain to us four different types of soil. And the first one he talks about, the seed that falls on the wayside. Now the wayside is sort of the place where the people walked. That's the hardened, compacted earth. Today we have tar roads. No, they didn't have tar roads, but it's sort of the roads where everyone walked. It was a very hard ground, so the seed could not very easily just go and take root in that soil because it was compacted. It's by the wayside. And it also says that the birds came and they picked this up. So obviously the seeds fell there. They couldn't just go in, and the birds just came, sat down like, oh, a snack. So they just took the seeds away from the wayside. Then in verse 5, he says, "Some fell in stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth." So there was this thin layer of soil with a rocky area underneath. And so because it was only a little bit of soil, these things, they couldn't put down their roots because the rock prevented them from putting down their roots. And so it springs up quickly because the soil gets very hot quickly because of the rock underneath. It gets very hot. And so it springs up quickly, but then because it doesn't have any root, it just withers away. That's what it says there in verse 6. "But when the sun was up, they scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them." And this is interesting because this means this was fertile soil, maybe too fertile, because the thorns were also growing there, but the thorns were choking the plants. The thorns were like wrapping themselves around and really just choking the life out of the plants. Then verse 8 he says, "But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So this is the soil that is both fertile and weed-free. There's no weeds in the soil, and it's fertile. It's good ground that when you put the seed in there, it just goes down and it starts putting down its roots, and it gives a productive crop from this good ground. He says there are different ways, some of them 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. And then Jesus says something very important. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the main verse for our study this morning. Ears to hear. If you have ears to hear, hearing is very, very important. Did you hear what I just said? Hearing is very important. The same thing I said to Ben as I was turning his face towards me and saying, "Looking into my eyes, look into my eyes." And he's going like this. And I'm like, did you hear what I just said to you? Yeah, I just heard. So what did I say to you? That's exactly how we often are sometimes in church, you know? And what I want to do this morning is I want to turn your faces and say, look at me this morning. Look at the Word of God to hear what He wants to say to us. Because sometimes we think we are listening. We are hearing all these sounds, but there's no comprehension. There's no understanding. There's no listening. And this is very important in the Bible. Luke 8 verse 18 says, "Therefore, take heed how you hear." That implies there's different ways for us to hear. So I hope that you are awake this morning. The word "hear" appears 538 times in the Bible in 505 verses. I've checked it up. It's just the word "hear." And so in the New Testament, 78 times just in the Gospels that it appears. In this study that we're doing this morning, this 23 verses, 16 times you find the word "hear" or "hearing." Very important. This is really what the Lord wants to say to us. Now, you probably all know the guy Stephen R. Covey, you know, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People or whatever. I'm not a big fan, but he's a Mormon, by the way. Anyway, so I'm not into his whole thing, but there's something interesting that he said. He says, "Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. They are either speaking or preparing to speak." And this is what we find. Aren't you oftentimes frustrated in your conversation? You sit down and talk with someone, you can see they just actually want to say something what you're saying. They're not really listening. And listening is such an important thing in our world today. I looked at some statistics from, I think it was a 2005 study, of how much of what we know comes from listening. And it said 85% of what we know comes just from listening. So that's the average of, of everything that people know is just what they hear from listening, not just by all these other means. But then the amount of time that we are distracted or preoccupied or forgetful while listening is 75%. So that's scary. 85% of what we know comes from listening, but 75% of the time we're distracted when we're supposed to be listening. That's a problem. They say, how much can people recall immediately after listening to a talk? Average 50% of what has been said. This worries me because I know I've got a lot of verses to cover here, and so 50%, so which 50% are you going to listen to? I hope it's the right 50%. The amount of time we spend listening, 45%. How much do we remember of what we hear overall? 20%. And then there was 35 business studies indicated that listening was the top skill needed for business. And I just thought, if listening is the top skill needed for business, how much more important is listening to the Word of God when He wants to speak? I think this is the top skill as a Christian that you need once you've repented, you've come to the Lord, is to listen what the Lord wants to share with us, how He wants to communicate with us, and what. So this morning, tune in, think through, listen up. The seed is being sown right at this moment, and there's a difference between listening and hearing. So I don't want this to be sounds going in. I want you to actually listen. Charles Spurgeon, once again, he said, a man cannot listen to another while he will have all the talk and the discourse to himself. You know, we live in a society that people just want to talk. They're not really interested in sitting down, listening, especially to the Word of God. When we look in our Bible at the end, Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we see Jesus talking to all the churches. All the seven churches, which is historical churches, but it also refers to different aspects of the church in the last days. And you know what He says to every single church? He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And this is really, I think, where we are this morning. So I hope you realize that hearing is important, but biblical hearing. Are we listening to what God wants to say? Okay, so we should come to God's house with open ears, spiritually tuned in and hearing. It's all about spiritual hearing we're talking about, not about listening to what my words say. The word hear there in the Greek is the word akouo. And what the word means is it means not deaf. It's not deaf. So it's like you are able to hear. You've got that facility. You're not deaf. And so when Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who is not deaf, let him hear what he wants to say to us. Today, a lot of people are deaf for a number of things. You know, you're walking in the world out there, many people are deaf to the message of creation. Psalm 19 says to us, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. Nothing is hidden from him. But there are so many people that look at all the mountains, everything, and they say, well, you know, the Big Bang. That's the answer. They don't listen. They don't get it. They just miss out on the whole picture. Secondly, the gospel message. The most important message. The message of good news of salvation for all people. People reject it. We just saw the last couple of chapters that we talked about last week. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The unforgivable sin. How people just reject the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. People are closed down to the gospel. And I think thirdly, the one most applicable to us this morning is conviction of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word, are we open to hear what He wants to say? Or are we closed down? Are we deaf to what He wants to say? And so, Jesus, as He's speaking here, this is not a call for everyone to listen up. He's not saying, everyone, just tune in, listen up. He's not what He's saying. He's saying specifically that all those who are spiritually sensitive to the words that I speak, all those who are into the things of my kingdom, now's the time to take special note, because I'm saying something important to you. And so we know this hearing is primarily, firstly, how we hear the word. This is what this message is about. Secondly, we're going to see a bit later, we can also apply it to how we share the word as we look at these different types of soil. It affects how we share with people the word of God. So we're going to be moving on now to verse 10, the next sort of section about, I think, really about discerning. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? So this was a good question that they were asking. They came to Jesus, and obviously Jesus used these parables in such a way that it wasn't obvious for everyone what he was speaking about. And I think just at a first glance over the first read of the parables, you almost think that Jesus was trying to hide things from certain people. This is the idea you get when you just read over it the first time. Because the way that he said it doesn't just make it apparent for everyone what he's talking about. And they're like, why do you talk to people in parables? I think that was a very good question. And so he answered them in verse 11 and said, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So Jesus distinguishes between two groups of people, the you and the them, between the spiritually tuned in and the spiritually dead. And also under the spiritually dead, we can include the Pharisees, the one who are opposing the kingdom of God. Jesus says you, and he's speaking to his disciples. What is a disciple? Once again, a disciple is someone who lays down his life for his Lord. It's like, Lord, you saved me, you saved my life, here's my life, I give my life, I'm going to serve you fully in everything that I am. That's what a disciple is. And now Jesus speaks to his disciples and he says, those of you who love me, who want to give your lives to me, it's been given to you to hear and to understand these things. But to the rest of them, it's not been given. The word there, mysteries, is the Greek word, once again, mysterion. And we know that every time that word is used in the New Testament, it doesn't refer to some kind of mystery that can never be known. It means something that has not been known up until this point, but can only be known through divine revelation. And so when Jesus speaks about the mysteries of the kingdom, he's like, the mysteries of the kingdom can be known by you, but you have to seek it. You know, 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And how often have you had that experience? You speak to people about the Word of God and they're just like, oh yeah, whatever, that's good for you. There's no desire to understand that. It's like they're closed. They cannot hear the message of the gospel. They cannot hear the message of the kingdom. It's only those who are tuned in, who are saved, who are looking to the Lord, they are ready to get that message. And the rest of them? But we almost think like Jesus is trying to hide something from the people, but this is not the reason for parables. Jesus is not trying to hide truth from people. It's quite interesting when you look at what he's actually trying to do. He's trying to reveal truth to those who are specifically listening with spiritual ears. He's trying to give out more to the people who really want more. And he's actually being so merciful on the rest of the people. Because we talked last week about hardening your heart. You know how many times the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, I want to speak into your life. I want you to turn your life over to me. And every time you say no, you become harder and harder. And that might eventually lead to the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, to that unforgivable sin where you said, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. That might eventually lead to that. And so as Jesus is talking, he doesn't want the people to be more offended about his message. And so he speaks in parables. So the ones who don't really care, they won't be more offended. They won't be more hardened towards the message that is given to them. But the ones who are tuned in, they're like getting all that stuff from the Lord. They're like, oh Lord, we love it. You know, and I always see it even in our little church as we teach sometimes, you know. The people who are excited about the Word of God, you know, they're like, yeah, you know, it's a message that so many people have heard before. But because you're spiritually tuned, you're like, man, this is exciting. I love about hearing about the Word of God. Even though I've heard it 100 times, you're excited. But there are some people who just like, and you can see it's like just the shutters go down. They just cannot hear it. And that's a sad thing. And so Jesus used this parable so the hearts of those rejecting him would not be hardened any further. You know, it's the same sun that shines down that softens wax. And the same sun that shines down that hardens the clay. And this is exactly the picture we have here. Jesus Christ is shining his light, his knowledge, his truth to all the people through parables. Some of them, they'll melt like wax. They'll be open to receive the word from the God. Other ones will be hardened like clay. They're just like, we don't get it. We don't want to hear anything more about it. But Jesus is actually being merciful in the fact that he conceals it in such a way. 2 Corinthians 5:12-16 says, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for all these things? And this is not directly applicable to this, but the same thing that Jesus is speaking about. We, as God's children, walk in this world. We give the gospel. To some, it's like the aroma of life. Yeah, tell me more. I want to know how to be saved. I want to get to know the Lord. And other ones, it's the aroma of death. I don't want anything to do with it. It's a different, same message, different outcome. And so Jesus is speaking to the people as a mixed multitude. And he's conceding the truth in such a way from all those who are too lazy to listen up, to tune in spiritually, and all those who are, you know, blinded by prejudice. So many of the people in our world today is blinded by prejudice. They've got all these preconceived ideas about the church, about the Bible, about the Holy Spirit, whatever, and they're just like, yeah, all that stuff that the Christians do. And they block themselves off from that. That's part of the enemy's tactic. It's Lord, he puts a blanket over their heads. A blanket of prejudice, a blanket of deception, a blanket of lies. So when the people actually hear the word of God right in front of them, they cannot understand it. It doesn't bear fruit in their lives. They don't receive it and say, oh man, this is what I need. They just think, oh, that's good for you, but not really for me. And the more you reject it, the more hardened you become. And so Jesus really conceals only from him who does not want to see the truth, because the responsibility is still with the individual to open up, to receive that word that God gives to us. And Jesus says an interesting thing here in verse 12. He says, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And this is speaking about that message. The one who receives that will see it oftentimes. If you are on fire for the Lord, you just can't get enough of God's word. You just want to drag this in and fill yourself and have it change you from the inside out. And others are just not so excited about the word. It's just one of those things, you know, and you just go through it. But whoever has, those who are open and sensitive to the spiritual truth, more will be given to them. If you want to hear what God wants to say, I always believe with my whole heart, I've told so many people this throughout the years, if you truly want to find the Lord and you truly seek for him, you will. There's been so many guys in secular society, like a book I put in the library today, Lee Strobel, The Case for Christ. He went out once again to try and prove Christianity wrong. Josh McDowell, he's one of the best apologists today. That's how he started off. He was such an analytical guy, and he's like, I'm going to prove that Christianity is wrong. He tried to prove it to his friends. And the more that he actually studied and looked into the truth of Christianity, that eventually became saved and became on fire for the Lord. Because if you truly want to find out if God is true, and if everything that's written down here is true, you will find it. But if you don't really have that desire to dig in and to find it, you will be closed to that. Matthew Henry, one of the commentators, he compares the parables to the clouds and fire. You know, in the times of Israel, as they moved out of Egypt, they got before the Red Sea, and then Pharaoh's army came from behind. They were chasing him, and the cloud that was leading the Israelites, it went and stood between them. And to the Israelites, it gave light. And to the Egyptians, it gave darkness and confusion, the same cloud. And I think this is quite a good example of this, because the same message, the one can hear it and he can be so excited about this truth about God. The other one can hear the same message from the same preacher the same day and he's just like, yeah, it doesn't do anything for me. And we think, how is that possible? The guy sitting here in front of the word, how can he not hear? Because he is not spiritually open. He does not really want to receive. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That is what God wants to say to us this morning. You know, God wants to reveal himself to every one of us in abundance. He loves us. He wants us to be his kids. He wants to give us spiritual blessings. He wants to open us up for heaven. But you must want it. We've spoken about that before. Sometimes we pray, yes, Lord, please help me to understand. And you go out and you forgot what you prayed about. It wasn't a sincere request. But the guy who's sitting there on his knees like, Lord, please, I want to understand your truth. I seek your truth. Like David says, Lord, my heart pants for you like a deer pants for the water. That's the kind of hunger I have for your word. God says, you know what? That's all I want. And he just lavishes you with his blessing, with spiritual understanding. Because if you truly want to know him, he will open himself up to you. You will find him if you search for him with all of your heart. If that's your goal, if that's your desire, truly, You know, Jesus, he doesn't want to give you what you don't really want. He wants you to come to him and really ask for it and really mean it, and then he will just give it to you freely. So verse 13, he says, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Therefore, Jesus figured this is the way to present God's message to all these people. So some of them will hear, some of them will grow and be fed by this message, but some of them, they'll just go away from there. And they won't be more offended, because Jesus wasn't trying to push people away from the kingdom. He doesn't want to share in such a way that people are just hardened against the message. But you always notice Jesus in the Bible, he never runs after people. Like, oh, let me just rephrase it. I didn't mean it like that. Just come back. Just come back. I just come back. Jesus never ever spoke like that to the people. He gave them the truth in love, and what they did with it was their thing. He never ran behind them and like, maybe you just misunderstood me. Let me just rephrase this a bit differently. Jesus never ever did that. And so this was his way of presenting God's message so the spiritually sensitive could understand, but the hardened would just hear a story and they won't heap up any additional condemnation for themselves. They would just hear a story and okay, that's cool, and go away from there. Verse 14, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. So while Jesus was doing this, while he was speaking in parables, he was fulfilling Bible prophecy. This is what we see here. Isaiah 6 verse 9 is quoted here. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. I've even seen this in so many words, that people, they're just afraid to actually hear the word of God, because they're scared that it's actually going to cost me something. I'm actually going to have to change my life in some kind of way, and I'm just not ready for that, so I don't really want to hear the word now. And they're almost just, you know, backing away from that. But it says the ears of the people have grown dull. They did not see what they saw. They did not hear what they heard. The sad thing is many broad-minded people out there in the world today, but they are close to the gospel of Christ. They're close to the narrow message of the gospel, and they will go to hell forever and ever. And so we think, why would God send Isaiah to preach to all these people if he knew they wouldn't listen? Why would God send his prophet and proclaim to them all these things if they would be close to his message? You see, Jesus Christ is a gentleman, and he will always be. He will never force himself on you in any way. He will never try and coerce you into the kingdom. Jesus wants the people in the kingdom that actually wants to be in the kingdom. And that's why he didn't go around asking people like, please, just come into my kingdom. You know, I know this is better for you. He gives them the love. He shows them what he did for them. But he realizes it's a choice they've got to make. He doesn't want people just loving him because he says they should love him. He doesn't want people just, you know, going to heaven with him that doesn't really want to be there. And I'm thinking this morning, just in your own heart, just consider, do you really desire to be in heaven? Do you really desire, does it make you excited to think about heaven? Or are you just like, oh, that's one day, I don't really think about that. Or is it sort of the drive of your life? This is what I'm excited about. This is what I want. I want to be with God in his presence. Jesus could have very easily spoken in such a way. He had the power. He could have spoken in such a way to these people so that everyone's mind would be turned. He could have given them the facts. He could have reasoned with them in such a way that they were just like, whoa, okay, there's no other way. That is what I should do. And oftentimes when we share the gospel with people, we think the same way. If I just say it like that, if they just know this, if they can just hear this, then they will be turned. But you know what? Jesus does not want robots. He could have created us like robots. We saw it on Wednesday evening. He could have made us without free choice and just made us to love him. But that would mean zero in the book of love. Jesus wanted to make people with free choice that could freely choose to love him, that freely want to be with him. And this is what this parable is all about. Everyone who's open to the word of God, everyone who loves Jesus, who truly wants to be with him. Jesus says, I want to give you all things. I don't want to withhold anything from you. I want to give you spiritual enlightenment. I want to give you life. I want to show you the things of heaven. I want to grow you so you can bear fruit. But if you don't want it, I'm not going to force you. Jesus says he will never force anyone to be in his kingdom. And this is what all this is about. Jesus does not want to save anyone against their will. Doesn't want to drag them kicking and screaming into heaven saying, you're going to be here if you want or not. That's not true worshippers. Jesus desires true worshippers to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so verse 16, he says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and they did not hear it. So Jesus says, blessed are those. Those who understand these words of mine, those who get the parables, the things that I'm speaking about, those who understand the spiritual truth, blessed are you. And they are genuinely blessed because, you know what, the guys under the gospel, we are so privileged. What we understand and see under the gospel, all these guys for all the ages try to see and understand through the law, they could never. The law never shows you the truth. The law brings you to that, shows you truth. It brings you to that place where you can come to Jesus Christ, but you never understand the full picture. We have the grace from the beginning. From the new covenant, Jesus brought us grace. It's not about what you do. It's not about your checklist. It's not about, am I in church? It's about that heart. I want to be in church. It's not about Jesus checking you down like, you've done good for the week, you know. Now, it's like, do you want to be there? It's the heart. And because we have so much more enlightenment than all the prophets and the righteous men of the old times, because they just only had the law. They never knew what the law was going to bring, what's going to come from that, the grace that's going to flow from that, the thing that God himself is going to do for us. They never understood this, so they were not that blessed. And so every one of you this morning that's sitting here that is saved, that has a relationship with Jesus Christ, blessed are you, every single one of you. Because you hear the words and you can understand them. And then lastly, we're going to quickly look at hearing is doing. Verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. So once again, Jesus now explains the parable, but he says, listen, this is what the parable means to all those. And he talks about, we know that the seed that has been sown is the word of God. That's a scripture that's been sown. And it's been sown into four different types of soil. And Jesus now once again goes to explain this, because it's like planting the word of God in the world. As you sow the word of God, it falls on different types of soil. And so we must also be reminded this in when we share the word of God, not only how we hear the word of God, but how we share the word of God has a great effect, because some people will listen and some people won't listen. Romans 10:17 tells us clearly, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. This is how, so even this morning, while you're sitting here just listening to the word of God, you are doing a spiritual exercise. You are exercising your faith. You are being built up in faith. And Jesus starts going on. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So here we get the first hearer. The hearer by the wayside. This is the hardened hearer. This is the guy or the girl who hears this message. It's got no effect on their lives. They hear this message. They walk away from the message. Nothing changes. It's like that compacted earth by the wayside that's been trampled down. It's so hard that nothing can penetrate there unless the seed maybe lies there forever. But you know what? It doesn't lie there forever, because as soon as the seed is sown on that hardened heart, the guy says that he's not open to the word. The seed falls on his heart and the enemy comes, the bird comes, and he takes it away. He's like, let me just help you with that. You don't want that anyway. And the guy's like, yo, just get that away from me. And that's why someone can so easily walk away from the word of God and not being touched by it at all, because they're hardened. And because they're hardened, the enemy comes and he helps them. He just steals that word away. As soon, it's only still lying there on the hard surface. There's no settling in effect, because Satan always wants to hinder the word of God. We pray for all of you guys every Sunday morning that you may be able to come to church, because Satan is the one who doesn't want you to be here. It's not for my sake, it's for your sakes, because every time that you are here, you are being fed and built up in the scriptures. This is where the fellowship of God's believers is. That's why you need to be here. And the enemy is the one who stands in the way of the word. And normally, you know, when I sometimes have a word, I just know this is what the Lord wants to speak. Then I come to church and it's like, whew, everyone's gone. And I'm like, you know, we should pray more for that, because that's normally, the day that you don't feel like you want to go to church, that's when you should go to church. Trust me. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3 and 4 said, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." There's a test for you this morning, personal test. No one knows, but a personal test for you is, are you excited about this word that has been taught you this morning? That's an indication of how hard your heart is, if you are excited about this. Because Paul is saying, we'll share this, you know, and some people, the God of this age has blinded their minds. They cannot understand it. They've been so long listening to deception, listening to the lies, building up prejudice against the things of God. They're just not open. And when we pray for people to be saved, we should pray that God lifts that blanket of deception and prejudice and lies away from them. So when they hear the word, they can respond to the word rationally. He goes on, he says there in verse 20, "But ye receive the seed on the stony places. This is you who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy." So this is the enthusiastic hearer, the second hearer. He hears the same message. And he's like so excited, like, wow, this is great. This is what I've always been looking for. This is amazing. And he or she is so excited about this word. But then, you know, we see the next verse. "Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." And we see that happening. That's part of the field that is being sown in. That's part of the soil. A lot of people has this kind of heart. So they get it. You share the message with them. And they're like, oh, that's truth. That's great. I love this. Give it to me. But then it's a very shallow soil. They don't allow that root to go down into the ground. And it's not because of the sudden growth that they actually fail. Because sudden growth is good. Don't get it wrong. Sudden growth is always good. It's because of the lack of depth. There's no depth of ground. They don't allow that little word that's fallen on their hearts to sink in. They don't go home and meditate on it. They walk outside and start talking about rugby and stuff in the world. They don't share. They don't fellowship. They're not like, oh, this is really, what does it mean? I mean, this is amazing. This is what God spoke this morning. You know, how does it react to you? And you share. They don't go home and meditate on the word of God. They're sort of like, oh, that was nice. That's really great. And then they go away and it doesn't matter because they don't allow it to take root down. It says persecution, tribulation. It's short-lived also because they're not willing to suffer persecution for it. And it says persecution because of the word. As soon as something comes up, like, oh, you know, some kind of thing happens. Like, now I have to choose. Am I going to church? Am I going to do this thing? You know, what is my priorities? And it's so easy when some kind of thing opposes you that you just say, okay, no, I'm just going to leave church. I'm just going to do the other thing. It's so much easier. And so, because of the word, persecution will come. The Bible tells us very clearly. All those, 2 Timothy, who desires to live godly in this present age will suffer persecution. That's a promise to God's children because the world is not like us. They hate us. Secondly, the people are challenged to lay down their lives. This is what Calvary Chapel is about. We challenge you to lay down your lives, to let the word of God work its way in your heart. And sometimes we hear the word and we're not up for the challenge. We're just like, oh no, it's going to take too much of me. I hear what God is saying, but I don't know. It's just not the time for me. And that's the kind of heart that he's speaking about here, the stony places, hardened places. The next one there, verse 22. "Now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." This is the third hearer, the preoccupied hearer. This is the guy, I think this is what characterizes most of the people who hear the word of God. This is the largest group of people who hear the word of God. They hear this message, but because of the thorns, because of all the things in the world, they get sidetracked. They hear the word, they're like, man, this is great, this is what I want to do. I can hear God speaking to me, but then they get busy at whatever. They get busy with all kinds of things in the world. And because of the things of the world, it names a couple of them there, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, they choke the word. And they will always choke the word. You know why? Because it's of the world, it's not of the Father. It's a mutually exclusive thing. You cannot do both at the same time. And so they really stopped in their spiritual growth by competition from unspiritual things. All these other things that want part of your life, all these other things that ask your attention, your energy, all those things that compete with the Word of God in your life, this is what squashes the Word of God flat. So it doesn't exist anymore. And so we ask, what is all the stuff in the world? 1 John 2:16 tells us very clearly, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Do you see those three things? That's what every person struggles with, every person on earth. Those three things, the lust of the flesh, it can be a sexual desire, it can be some kind of thing that you just need, it's a craving, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, all the things that you covet, all the things that you see. And thirdly, the pride of life, being lifted up in pride. Those things stand directly opposite the Word of God. And if you allow those things to come into your life, they will squash out the Word of God. If you grow in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, you will be squashing out the Word of God in your life. Remember what we talked about. You cannot serve two masters. Matthew 6:24. We spoke about it so many times. People think, it's fine. I can serve two people. You know, I can do this world thing fully. I can go to all the movies, listen to all the secular music. I won't be affected by it, and I can still be a Christian. You are fooling yourself. You're deceiving yourselves. We've read so many times, what you sow, speaking about the sower, what you sow is what you will reap. If you continue to sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption, the Bible says. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit everlasting life. And so, the problem with this is we don't immediately see it. I've seen it in my own life. Sometimes I've been sowing to the flesh. I've been sowing to the wrong thing. And you don't immediately see it because it's not immediately just jumps up this crop. But when it finally jumps up, you're like in this midst of this problem. You're like, where did this come from? This is weird. I don't know how this came from. But then when you sit down and you let the Word of God work in your heart, you realize it's because you've been sowing so long to the things of the flesh. And now the crop is coming up. Now you're struggling with that problem. It might be a long time after you started sowing, but eventually that will come up. The good news is, if you start sowing to the Spirit, it will also come up. So today, right here and now, make a determination that you will start sowing to the Spirit, that you will squash out the things of the world. Because the more you sow to the Spirit, suddenly you'll find yourself more spiritually alive, more hungry for the things of God, more in tune with the things of God. I shared with you, I think, last week about the movies once again. I'm not telling you don't go to movies. I'm just saying watch your spiritual diet, the things that you put into your life, because that's going to come up. That's what's going to determine who you are. The reason why society is so mixed up is because they've been listening to Hollywood for so many years. That's where our problems come from. People think, doesn't affect me. I just enjoy the movie. You think so? Just watch 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line, how much of your mind has been affected by what you see, what they're feeding you, how to think. This whole thing is moving in one direction because if you do that with the Word of God, if you grab onto the Word of God, you're going to find yourself eventually being enlightened, being there where God wants to give you more and more. To him who has, more will be given. That's what Jesus is saying. It's exactly what he's talking about. And then lastly, he says, verse 23, but he receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, he understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So this is the fourth hearer, the understanding hearer. The guy who hears the word with understanding, it makes sense to him. He responds rightly to the word of God and he bears much fruit. And you see the difference in every category is the soil. That's the difference. It's the same sower, it's the same word. There's no change in that. The difference is how you hear. The difference is the soil that seed is falling into. That's where the difference comes in, with how you hear, if you are open to the Word of God. And so he warns us of a couple of things. He warns us of the devil, the birds, who comes and they steal away that seed if you don't let it grow inside of you. It's happened to me sometimes. You know, I hear something and immediately I just don't go and meditate on it. Later I just can't even remember what it was because it's just stolen away from us. Secondly, the flesh, that scorching sun, the trials and tribulations, all the things of the flesh that comes against you. Jesus warns all the ones who are spiritually tuned in to watch out for the things of the flesh. And thirdly, for the things of the world. All the thorns that look beautiful on the outside. On the inside, they are corrupt. They want to destroy you. They may have pleasure for a moment. Eventually, they will drown you. It will be terrible for you. And you know what the interesting thing is? Sometimes, even though this is speaking about sharing the gospel, initially receiving the word of God, becoming a child of God, it also has, little bits of this has also effect in our life. And every single one of these soils sometimes have application to our lives. Sometimes we hear the word. Maybe God is speaking to you specifically about something or to me specifically about something. And we're like, and you just harden to that. You're not open to let God have the ultimate say. And you're just like, I don't know about that. And you just leave it there. Then you are sort of part of that hard soil in that one specific area. Also, you can be like the other guys. You can be like the enthusiastic hearer. Sometimes you hear something that God says to you, you're so excited. Oh, great, God, that's excellent. But then you don't sit and meditate on it, and it just disappears, like it's had no root in your life. Also, the cares of this life, the preoccupied hearer. Sometimes we can be, I get preoccupied sometimes with things. And I don't dig into the Word of God like I should. And then you will reap the harvest. You will get that bad fruit sometimes. And then also the last one, sometimes we hear and we truly understand. And if you realize this, you'll be a spiritually blessed Christian. If you sit there and you realize when God speaks to you, every time you open up the word, God wants to speak to you. If you are spiritually tuned, if you are led by the Spirit, you will understand what He says, your life will be changed. And if you allow that to work in you, it will be amazing because you'll just grow from strength to strength, from glory to glory. John 15, the last couple of verses I want to share with you. John 15:16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you." Jesus Christ has appointed us as His children to bear fruit. That's why you're here. You are here for God's glory, to bear fruit in His kingdom, for His glory. And we see some of the people, they hear it. They make it part of themselves. They bear a crop of 30-fold. Some take it even more to heart. They bear a crop of 60-fold. Some 100-fold. There's different levels too, but it's the ones who make the word their own. They do what God has appointed them to do. And so here's exhortation. James 1, verse 19-25 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." And then he says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in what he does." So this is the end of the message that I want to share with you this morning. Be a hearer, understand what God is saying to you, but me more than that. A lot of people, they just hear and they don't do anything about it. Be a doer of the word. Then you will be blessed. Your heart won't be hardened. Because otherwise, it says you deceive yourself. And I've seen this so much across the board. I talk about this frequently, you know. There are many people, they know the word. They can quote it to you. They can tell you what it says. But they don't do it. You know how much it helps them? This much. Zero. If you know what the word says and you don't allow it to work in you, if you don't go and you do what the word says, then it means nothing. Because many people, they hear this thing that we're teaching on, they walk out, they say, "I agree with that, great, I agree with that, preach it, brother." But then they don't go and do it. And it means nothing in their lives. It's only when you actually do the things of the kingdom that you start changing. And so hearing is primarily how we hear the word of God, very important for us, but also secondarily, how we share the word of God. I think it's important that as we share with people, we realize some people are just not open to receive the word of God. Nothing that you can stand on your head, it's not going to change their mind because they are hardened. So we should pray for people before we share with them. But Jesus says, you are blessed when you hear. And you know what? As you hear, that blessing starts flowing to all these around you as you do it. Because then you are blessing the other people with the same word. Acts 4 verse 20 says, the disciples were speaking and says, we cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. If you are truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, that's how you will be. Like, I've heard these things, I cannot help, hold it inside of me, I have to share it with all the people around me because it's life. It will change you. And so the problem is with the soil. And so we have to break up that ground. We have to make our hearts open. The last scripture I have for you is Hosea 10 verse 12 that says, sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. So this is your homework for the week. Go home. Prepare your heart. Break up that hard ground. Any area in your life, ask the Lord. Do like David. Say, Lord, search me and try me. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And you know what? If you seek the Lord with all your heart, He will give you that. He will break you up. You will be open and you will bear fruit. And God will be glorified. And you will be excited about the kingdom.